Kim Chang, and I'm an associate faculty of cultural psychology in this building, this school, Critical Social Inquiry. I work on the board of anthropology and psychology. I teach a lot of courses on methodology, critical ethnography, as well as creative nonfiction. And I'm also part of the Five College Asian Pacific American Studies program and Hampshire's China program. So, and our school has also Div 3 grant money. If you have a chair who's a CSI faculty, you can apply for money, and it's on a rolling basis, so there's no deadline. So I wanted to start, because I know right now a lot of you are still at that stage of trying to formulate your questions and trying to figure out what is your Div 3 going to be about. We're not quite yet to that, you know, past the contract filing date. So I know you're trying to see the big picture right now, and it's really hard to do where you're standing and where you're sitting at this point. And that's good. I think we do have to plan ahead, and I do all these things that other faculty have talked about in terms of, you know, getting a calendar out and scheduling the year and working backwards and all that. But there's also a part of Div 3 that's about sort of keeping your eyes in front of you. And keeping moving. And I wanted to share with you a short quotation from a book about writing by a writer named Anne Lamott. The book is called Bird by Bird. Some of you may have seen this book before. It's a great book on writing and life, as she says. And I wanted to just read this quote. I've taught Div 3 seminars both in the fall and in the spring, and I used this in my fall Div 3 seminar. We started with reading some Anne Lamott, and students really liked it. By the way, this is my 17th year at Hampshire. I've been here a little while. So Anne Lamott is citing the writer E.L. Doctorow, and she writes, she says, E.L. Doctorow once said that writing a novel, or a Div 3, is like driving a car at night. You can only see as far as your headlights, but you can make the whole trip that way. That's the quote from Doctorow. And then Anne Lamott goes on to say, you don't have to see where you're going. You don't have to see your destination or everything you'll pass along the way when you're driving at night. You just have to see 2 or 3 feet ahead of you. This is right up there with the best advice about writing or life I've ever heard, or I would say Div 3. And so what I want to sort of focus on 5 pieces of advice for seeing 3 feet in front of you in this process that you're on. Because I really do think this problem of finding and formulating your question, you're just starting it now, it will reveal itself to you over time, but there are certain things you just have to keep doing. And I want to talk about those things. So the first one is reading widely. And annotating while you're reading. You know, especially at this stage, I actually have a daughter who's a senior in college at another small liberal arts college in another state who's in the same boat as all you guys. She's working on a thesis. She has to submit her proposal by the end of the month. She's like in the exact same boat as all of you. And she's like, except she doesn't have a Div 3 committee. She does not have the advising. And so she keeps texting me. So I feel like I'm advising my daughter at the same time that I'm advising my Div 3 students. And one of the things that I see happening for her, and I see it happening for my Div 3 students right now, is the more they read, the more they're starting to figure out like where their Div 3 sits and what they want to say and who they want to speak to. And so I just think right now, reading widely is so important. Following that trail, you know, you find that one reading that's just, that's it. That's the one that speaks to your Div 3. Look at the references, follow the trail. I think through the whole Div 3 process, this is really important. But if you're feeling right now like you can't launch this thing, keep reading. You've got a few weeks still. And annotate while you're reading. I just can't stress how important it is to annotate, you know, everything you read, even if it's only a few sentences. I give this advice, and then I've got a book that's about to come out, and I have a source that I failed to write down, and I'm right now desperately trying to figure out where that source came from, and I've reached out everywhere, and nobody can help me, and so I didn't follow my own advice, but always write down your sources. But annotate, meaning, you know, write down a short summary of what that work is about, and then how it connects to your project. That second part is really important. right? So you're always connecting it back. So that's my first piece of advice is about reading widely. The second is, in order to read widely, you have to court your school librarian. And I'm saying court here. because really these librarians are amazing. I sometimes think if I was to come back in another life, I would really like to be a librarian because of their knowledge and ability to access information, right? We live in a world of info glut. It's overwhelming to think about how to find what we need. So the librarians are just amazing people, wonderful resources. I'm going to tell you about a book. I'm going to recommend a book to you in a moment. And in this book, the author refers to librarians as the pit bulls of democracy. And I couldn't agree more. I just think that they're the people who are going to, you know, really help us think about access to knowledge and information and how to use it. So court your librarian. Be nice to them. Make friends and spend time with them. The third is to write every day. Every single day. Writing has to be a practice. And it almost doesn't matter what you write. Don't think about it as formal writing. Think about it as every day I'm setting aside a half an hour, an hour. If you can build that up to more hours, and you will as time goes on. But it's got to be a daily practice where you're getting the stuff that's circling in your head, you know what I'm talking about, and waking you up at night, and you know, you feel like you're lost in some kind of horrible maze of concepts and ideas. You've got to put those things on the page. You just put them down, and sometimes you'll throw them all away, like Jane was talking about. But you got to get them on the page, and I really encourage my students to write shitty first drafts. Just write crap. It doesn't matter at the beginning. You've got to get it on the page, and you can't be censoring. Turn off that censor. Get your ideas down, because they'll disappear. You know, they do. Sometimes you get really good ideas. You should have a notebook with you all the time. You know, and keep that notebook with you in case an idea should pop into your head at some moment. The fourth is to share your writing. And this is hard sometimes, especially when you're writing shitty first drafts. You don't want to share your writing. You want to hide it. You want to throw it away. You want to burn it. Anything but show it to anybody. But, you know, like when Michelle said, look around, right? You're all in the same boat. You can share work with each other. You know, you're all writing shitty first drafts. We all write shitty first drafts. So share your writing with each other. Share it with your committee. The best conversations in committee meetings are when we're working around a piece of paper, draft. Even if it's a page, it makes such a difference, you know, when we have a piece of writing to workshop together. So really, really push yourself to share your writing.
Can I add a note?
Yes.
Sometimes students have a lot of anxiety about hitting the send button. And so what I've told students is if it makes you feel better, send it to me with the headline that says, please don't read this today. and you know, wait until I email you to say either you can read this draft or I have a better draft for you, just to get it out of your hands. Because hitting that send button sometimes is really anxiety provoking, but knowing that your advisor's not necessarily going to read that can make that a lot easier. And sometimes after you've already let it go, it's then okay, like 2 days later, say, okay, I know it's a draft, but go ahead and read it.
Great. And then number five is get your committee together. So this is really on you, you know, to schedule us. You know, that's what we're here for, but scheduling is hard for everybody. We've got a lot of Div 3s, all of us, and so sometimes it might seem like it's really daunting to get everybody together in the same room. It's really important to make that happen regularly. So much happens when you've got both your committee members together with you versus you're meeting one-on-one. I mean, one-on-one, sometimes you have to do it, right? Just because of scheduling, but don't make a practice of that. I really think, and in CSI, we tend to like to meet together. Get us together, because you'll get a different quality of conversation. It's just really exciting. I find it exciting. I like being in a room with other faculty and students together, generating ideas. Different things happen then when it's just you and one faculty member. It's just a completely different
number
dynamic.
Number one on your best practices.
Yeah, so get us together. And you have to work at that. Like, you have to generate that three-way email, or God forbid, four-way email if you've got three committee members, because sometimes that happens, which is really hard. But you have to generate it. You have to work at, you know, making it happen. I actually have one more that I just added, because I was just remembering. move your body, because I mean, my experience as a writer is, you know, you get stuck, right? We all get stuck. And when I get stuck, the only way I can get unstuck is I have to move my body. I have to go run, I have to bike, I have to, even walking, something where I'm actually, my body's moving, it does something. And your brain just goes, oh, and it lets go of that thing. And I get these amazing ideas when I'm moving my body that I can't get when I'm sitting in my chairs looking at my computer screen. So don't forget to do something physical during this process.
And your mommates will love you if you decide washing dishes.
Sure, that's a way of moving your body. Cooking, all those things. So the last thing is, I want to recommend two books that I also often recommend to my students that I think are really helpful for this kind of big thesis or this independent project. One is that is useful, especially at the beginning stages where you're learning how to do research, is called Salsa Dancing into the Social Sciences. And this is more about doing qualitative research as opposed to quantitative, because that's what I teach. Salsa Dancing into the Social Sciences, Research in an Age of Info Glut, by a woman named Kristen Luker, L-U-K-E-R. It's a really nice text for helping you think about how do you find your research questions, what does it mean to go to the literature. The chapter in here on reviewing the literature is fabulous. See you later, Michelle. She's the one that calls librarians the pit bulls of democracy. It's just a really nice hands-on guide to doing social research qualitatively. So this is a great book for that. And then the other book I want to recommend is called Alive in the Writing, Crafting Ethnography in the Company of Chekhov. She's an anthropologist, and so she's talking about ethnographic research, but I actually think this is a great book for any kind of big project that's about nonfiction writing. And she has all kinds of fabulous writing prompts in here, and it's really designed for like somebody who's in a big project with lots of stuff, right? You're juggling multiple sources, right? Multiple databases. You've got all these things that you're trying to manage. And she just has wonderful prompts and suggestions for how to take stock of all your stuff, bring it together, and then begin to write small pieces of writing with her little prompts that all through the book are full of prompts. So I highly recommend this. Again, it's called Alive in the Writing, and the author's last name is Narayan, N-A-R-A-Y-A-N. Hearing Narayan, Alive in the Writing. So those are my suggestions for you guys.
Not my friends.